football on Off the Ball.
If someone has a song that referenced Sheffield or Hillsborough about Liverpool crying, we'd be up in arms.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll find out which former Republic of Ireland coach has joined Brentford boss Keith Andrews' backroom staff at the Premier League club. We will have all the fallout from a momentous night in Irish club football as Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers record huge European wins. And we will look ahead to our live commentary match between Bohemians and Cork City, plus all of the rest of the League of Ireland action tonight. But first, to the news this morning of another Irishman coaching in the Premier League, and Stephen Rice has joined Keith Andrews' coaching team at Brentford. Rice will depart his role as Republic of Ireland under-21's assistant manager to become set-piece coach at the London club. Andrews says the former midfielder is passionate and detail-oriented, and he's delighted to bring him on board to Brentford. Now to events in Tulke Park last night at our live European commentary game between Shelburne and Linfield. Shells will take a 3-1 lead to Belfast next Thursday, knowing that they are just 90 minutes away from Europa Conference League league phase football. In a dramatic encounter, Linfield striker Matthew Fitzpatrick saw red midway through the opening period when he caught Milan Mbeng high. Mipo Odebeko missed a penalty 5 minutes before half time. Harry Wood then converted from the spot just before the break after the hosts were awarded a second spot kick. When Odebeko doubled Shell's lead less than a minute into the second half, it looked like the Reds would bury the tie on the night. But Linfield nicked one back through Kieran Offord and should have levelled when they won a penalty of their own. Offord's effort was excellently saved by Dutch keeper Veschel Spale on 63 minutes. Evan Caffrey gleefully rubbed salt in the Linfield wounds when he knocked home a third 12 minutes from time to ensure Joey O'Brien's team will take a healthy advantage to Belfast next Thursday. O'Brien told Off the Ball's own Nathan Murphy that it was a good result.
Feels like we got the full Mipo experience again tonight, and I'm sure he was disappointed with the penalty and maybe the missed opportunity earlier on, but what he did for the second penalty and not giving up on what was probably seemed like a lost ball. Can you talk about his impact and his ability to maybe keep his head up when things aren't going his way?
Yeah, it's brilliant, you know, and he has huge experience. He's only a young player, but he's had the life experiences of such a young player and involved in football and his journey through football already. So I think he has taken learnings and on his path, you know. But again, the big thing there with the penalty when he missed it for me was his next penalty. Obviously, H took him. He didn't go over. You see him see players in that sense maybe complaining and trying to take the ball off Hardy. He was encouraging him, you know. And I thought that was
because we were having a conversation. Yeah, I was wondering what was going on.
So he was encouraging him. So it was a powerful moment, I felt, for Hardy as well. Obviously, I suppose it took maybe a little bit of pressure off Hardy to take the penalty. And it was a big moment for me. And here, he's a handful. Like, I'll keep on saying this. He has huge attributes. And I thought again tonight he was great.
Yeah, and Harry Wood had a really good game, and I think something almost all the Irish managers have spoken about in Europe is, you know, needing bravery on the ball. You could see he wanted it all the time.
Yeah, again, he's been brilliant. I think this European one, you've seen the best of him in all the games he's played. For really, able to get on the front foot. His fitness levels are massive. I think the quality that he has in the ball, he's produced serious moments. I thought again here tonight, I thought he was the best player in the park, really, you know, wanting the ball at all times, doing all his work. Here, he's been he's brilliant, so... long may it continue.
Tonight, John Cena and the WWE SmackDown crew are in town. Evan Caffrey paid homage with his own Randy Orton-style celebration for his goal.
Tell us about the goal celebration.
It was the Randy Orton. I'm a bit of a wrestling fan, so yeah, no, I just decided to break out the Randy Orton celebration.
It's not the first wrestling celebration, though, is it?
No, I don't. I think I've done the John Cena. I think it was after the Pats game this season. Yeah, no, I just like the wrestling. It's funny as well. So
yeah. John Cena's in town, I think, at the moment. It's on in Dublin tomorrow night. Are you going?
No, I'm not going. No, but I have a John Cena.
Do you want to go? Do you want to put an appeal out and we'll see if we can get you a couple of tickets?
No. There's a massive game next week. So, but no, I have a John Cena T-shirt on the way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So just waiting on that to come.
So what's the next celebration? What's a Stone Cold Stunner or something like that?
Maybe, that was a bit before my time, but maybe some of my time, we'll see.
Yeah. The one other thing, of course, is your family connection with the club, and like, it was your granddad who led them to Barcelona and the Nou Camp, and you know, one of the most incredible nights in the history of Shells, which is over 60 years ago at this stage. What does it mean to you to be continuing that family connection?
Amazingly, ever since I'm a kid, you know, he'd have the pennants in his house of the European Games and the picture of him out in the new camp as well. It's inspiring, you know. It's what you dream of, you know. I couldn't believe, you know, as a kid growing up, that he got to play in a stadium like that. So, you know, for him not to be here as well is a bit heartbreaking, but I know, you know, he's looking down and he's proud.
Jeez, I'd imagine he'd be incredibly proud seeing that goal tonight.
It'd just be amazing for him. Yeah, just with the connection to the club, it means everything.
Shamrock Rovers recorded an historic 2-1 away win over Portuguese top division side Santa Clara in the Azores last night. Vinicius put the home side in front after just 20 minutes, but the Hoops responded magnificently as Danny Grant levelled up the tie 2 minutes before the break. Man of the match, Danny Mondreau scored midway through the second half to ensure that the league leaders will bring back a lead to Dublin for the second leg next week. And speaking to Shamrock Rovers TV in the aftermath of the game and in the week that Rovers boss Stephen Bradley's son Josh won his battle with leukemia, he said that it was perhaps one of the best weeks of his life.
Yeah, look, it's these wins don't come around too often, especially to this level of opposition. Probably caps off the best week of my life, to be honest, in terms of the news we get with Josh. And then you come here and give the fans victory. So it doesn't get better than that. And if I've learned anything throughout the journey is that you have to enjoy moments. When you get moments in life, you've got to enjoy them because you don't know what's around the corner. And this is a moment tonight that we'll definitely enjoy as a group.
Whilst match winner Danny Mondreau said that he was happy with the attacking side and the defensive side of his side's showing in Portugal last night.
Yeah, I thought to a man from the first minute to the 90th minute, we were outstanding tonight against a really tough side. But as I said to a man, I thought we played really, really good.
Elsewhere in Europe last night, Troy Parrott scored his 10th goal of the season already as he scored AZ Alkmaar's second in a 2-0 Conference League win away to Levski Sofia. Andrew Omabamadele played all 90 minutes of Strasbourg's 0-0 draw with Danish side Brøndby. Jamie McGrath was introduced as a second-half substitute as Hibernian were beaten 2-1 at home by Legia Warsaw, whilst Festi Abasele came on and pulled a goal back for Istanbul Basaksehir in a 2-1 home defeat to Romanian side Universitatea Craiova, whilst Aberdeen rescued a 2-2 draw with FCSB at Pitadri in the Europa League. Jean-Philippe Mateta scored the only goal of the game as Crystal Palace beat Fredrikstad 1-0 in the first leg of their Conference League playoff at Selhurst Park. It maintains Oliver Glasner's side's unbeaten start to the season.
Third game, no defeat. That's all good, but I think we are below the edge.
Glasner insists Mark Gay has to stay at the club until at least their second leg against Fredrikstad next week.
I just know if Mark leaves and is not available for Fredrikstad, we will have big troubles. That's pretty clear. We can't register anyone, so from my side, he has to stay.
Gay started and captain Palace, whilst Glasner still has lots of concerns over his own squad.
My job is to prepare the team. You know, I'm not involved in the transfer stuff that's going on. I think we are very, very late. It's 10 days to go to find the right replacements. So again, I think we could have done much better than we did. It's no criticism, it's just telling facts.
Now to our live League of Ireland commentary game tonight. And Cork City are still chasing that elusive first league win away of the season. They travel to Dillymen Park and take on an out-of-sorts Bohemians who have been knocked out of the cup and saw their title challenge fade over recent weeks. Home wins over Galway United and Waterford in the league and cup were welcome for Ger Nash's Corkmen, as well as a solid defensive performance in Derry which yielded a point in the Brandywell. They are still 7 points off Sligo Rovers in the playoff spot with just 9 games left. Nash says that while confidence has grown, tonight's game will be a huge test.
I think the confidence, yeah. I think, look, I've said before, the best way to improve confidence is through action and getting results and feeling it. So, yeah, I think the confidence of the group is improving, and that's good. We want that. But we know we got a really tough game on Friday. We want to continue that run we've had in terms of being hopefully difficult to beat in the last 3 games and be that way without the ball, but we also want to obviously create chances and be able to go up the other end and hurt balls and score goals. So we know we've got a huge game ahead of us. There's a bit more confidence in the group, but it's a huge test and it's one we need to be ready for, that's for sure.
Bows will be hoping to bounce back from being dumped out of the cup by Sligo last week. Their last league win came on the 11th of July and hopes of a title challenge have severely faded in recent weeks. Qualifying for Europe is now the sole focus, considering they are 10 points off leaders Shamrock Rovers, but they are just a single point ahead of Derry City in third, Drogheda United in fourth, 4 points ahead of Shelburne in fifth, and 5 points ahead of St Patrick's Athletic in sixth. Alan Reynolds will be without Niall Moran and John Mountney due to injury, whilst Rob Cornwall and Lee Kavanagh are also doubts. Alex Lacey is back in full training, as is James Clark, after illness sidelined him all last week. Kickoff tonight is at 7:45 and coverage will begin and off the ball from 7 o'clock on your radios and the Go Loud app. Elsewhere tonight, St Patrick's Athletic make a spin up the M1 to take on Drogheda United as both sides look to solidify their European aspirations. Pats had a good win at home in the FAI Cup last week against Shelburne as the Drogheda, as they went to Derry and defeated Tiernan Lynch's side on penalties after a 1-1 draw. Meanwhile, there is a big clash at the bottom of the table as relegation rivals Waterford FC and Sligo Rovers will clash at the RSC. The Blues were disappointing in exiting the Cup against Cork City last week, but they can almost guarantee their safety with victory here. The Bitter Red will come into the game filled with confidence after knocking Bohemians out of the Cup last Friday. They enjoyed their best win of the season when hitting 4 goals against the Blues back in May, a game which saw managerial change, which meant John Coleman took over. And finally, John Caulfield and Tiernan Lynch will be feeling some pressure in the final match of the night as Galway United take on Derry City. United have had their own relegation fears, just 4 points ahead of Sligo in the playoff position, while some abject performances from Derry have seen them lose out in the cup and fall back in the table. A European finish would still be an acceptable season for Lynch in his first year in charge. He has to turn things around from their last few matches. The Tribesmen enjoyed hitting the goal trail last week against Saltill Devon and will fancy ending away for a first league win since mid-June. The First Division also returns tonight with a full slate of fixtures. Dundalk can take a big step in securing their Premier Division return with the win away to 5th place Treaty United. The Lilywhites are 6 points ahead of Cove Ramblers in 2nd as they welcome UCD, who have playoff aspirations of their own. They currently sit in 4th position. Bray Wanderers travel south down the east coast to take on Wexford, whilst Finn Harps, who beat Bray 3-1 in the Cup last week, welcome basement side at Lone Town to Ballybuffet. And after a strong showing against Shamrock Rovers last week, Longford Town make the long trip south to take on Kerry FC, who are just 3 points behind them in 9th spot. All tonight's games kick off at 7:45 and you'll be able to follow all the action on Off the Ball from 7. And if you want to give your opinion on the night's action, remember, you can join Cameron Hill for your Irish football phone-in fix on X Spaces just after 10 o'clock tonight.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's what, 20 odd?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning. And to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
Ipswich Town have reached an agreement to sign Republic of Ireland and Leicester City winger Casey McAteer. A deal worth £12 million guaranteed over 3 years plus add-ons has been agreed by the two championship clubs, and the 23-year-old has already completed a medical ahead of the move. He will sign a 4-year contract at Portman Road. Leicester rejected a bid from Sunderland early this year for McAteer. The proposal was an offer of a loan with an obligation to buy for £8 million, rising above £10 million with add-ons. McAteer has made 3 appearances for Leicester this season, coming on as a substitute twice in the Championship and starting the side's penalty shootout defeat against Huddersfield in the Carabao Cup. A product of Leicester's academy, McAteer has made 45 appearances in all competitions for the club, scoring 8 goals. Republic of Ireland international Andrew Moran has completed his loan move to Los Angeles FC. The midfielder joins the MLS side from Brighton until the end of their season. He'll play alongside ex-Spurs captain Son Heung-min, as well as former France goalkeeper Hugo Lloris. Newcastle United boss Eddie Howe still hopes that Alexander Isak can be reintegrated back into his squad, despite the forward criticising the club publicly this week. The Swedish forward said promises had been broken as he continues to try to force a move to Liverpool. Newcastle have said they're disappointed with his public statement. Howe has confirmed Isak won't be involved again in the club's next game against Liverpool at St James's Park on Monday night.
My preference for these things is it doesn't happen publicly, because I think everything is better dealt with behind closed doors, but needs must, and in this situation the club has spoken, and probably justifiably so in that moment.
West Ham boss Graham Potter can understand why there's a sense of frustration among their supporters. They are unhappy with a lack of transfer business over the summer, while they suffered a 3-0 defeat to Sunderland in their first game of the season last week. Potter's side host Chelsea in a Premier League London derby tonight.
I've known all along that it's a work in progress. You know, you always have to make that balance between expectation and reality. I think there's a lot more to come from the team. I'm confident in the team. I'm confident in the players. I'm confident in what we have. But at the same time, I also know that while you have a result like that, there's a lot of negativity and criticism, which is normal.
Meanwhile, Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca admits it may take a bit of time for them to reach their top level. The Club World Cup champions had a shortened pre-season, having played in the FIFA tournament over the summer.
For sure, with more time, we're going to be better and better. But it's what it is. We need to adapt. I think we showed last week against Palace, where until the end we compete, until the end we create chances. And as I said, we're going to be better and better day after day.
And that game kicks off at the London Stadium at 8 o'clock. And finally today, as Evan Ferguson gets ready to hopefully make his Serie A debut for Roma tomorrow when they take on last season's Coppa Italia winners Bologna at the Stadio Olimpico. Italian football writer and broadcaster Daniele Fisichella joined Cullen Buhig and Shane Hannan on Off the Ball Breakfast and reminisced of when Robbie Keane joined Inter 25 years ago this month and his sliding doors moments.
Finally for me anyway, just a bit of nostalgia. 25 years yes. Since another Irish man moved to a high-profile Serie A side when Inter signed Robbie Keane. Remember the excitement around it. And at the time, Daniela, they used to show Italian football on Irish TV as well. And Channel 4 used to show it. So Inter paid pretty big money to Coventry for Robbie Keane. He scores, I think, one goal, like a lob volley into the far corner. But it doesn't really work out for Robbie.
No, nicknamed Baby Irish back then when he came. Inter paid the equivalent of 80 million euros to sign Robbie Keane. And why is that? Because back then the president of Inter, Massimo Moratti, was fascinated with Premier League and Premier League players. You know, those were the years where Italy was the Premier League and the Premier League was starting to be shown in Italy. So the Inter manager, the Inter president loved English players. He signed Paul Ince a few years before, tried to sign Ryan Giggs. So here comes Robbie Keane in an Inter that had back then Ronaldo, but he was injured with his knee injury, Christian Vieri, Zamoran, Seedorf, Zanetti, Laurent Blanc, but unfortunately a team that had no real identity. So Robbie Keane came in the summer of 2000, scored a goal in the Super Cup against Lazio, celebrated with the famous cartwheel celebration. But I think the moment that epitomizes how unlucky he was on the 23rd of August 2000, so 25 years tomorrow. Inter were playing the second leg of a Champions League playoff at home against Helsingborg after losing the first leg 1-0 in Sweden. And with the scoreline still 0-0 at the San Siro, with 10 minutes to go, a loose ball into the area, Robbie Keane went to it and backheeled it only to hit the post. Could have been a great goal. Inter was still 0-0. In the last minute, Alvaro Recoba missed the penalty. Inter were knocked out of the Champions League. The following week, they lost against newly promoted Regina. Marcello Lippi was sacked. And that was pretty much the end of Robbie Keane's career at Inter, because Marco Tardelli, the new manager, didn't really see him, didn't really have... knew what to do with him. And in January, unfortunately, he left Italy to join Leeds after 15 games and only three goals, none of them in Serie A. And I think he's a big regret for Inter supporters, for aficionados, considering then obviously what he went on to achieve. And I personally, as an Inter fan, so the mask can finally come out, I was really excited when he signed for Coventry, from Coventry. I thought he was going to be a great player, but unfortunately he was caught in the chaos of Inter in the early 2000s.
I knew he was unlucky with the managerial changes, but I didn't know about that backheel moment hitting the post, about how close that was, sliding door moment.
It was a sliding door, yes, because he... And in the first leg, I remember, against Helsingborg, he played well. Gazzetta dello Sport gave him a mark of 6.5 out of 10. So, you know, they appreciate the fact that he was moving, you know, demanding the ball, was very, very eager. But yeah, but that moment, and I remember vividly when I was younger, yes, it was a heartbreak moment for many, and probably what could have changed in his career. You know, he could go down on one of the greatest goals never scored at the San Siro.
Remember, you can tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And to listen to that podcast, remember, you can listen for free this week as we celebrate the return of our Sunday Premier League commentaries alongside our Friday night League of Ireland commentaries. All of our football coverage is free to listen to this weekend. That is about all we have time for today. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more next week. Have a great weekend.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh,
Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.